I'm Christina Rodenbeck from the Oxford Astrologer, and I'm here with my friend Sally Kirkman from sallykirkman.com, and together we are Astrology Talk. And we are going to address one of our monthly questions, and of course it's very apropos for this month. And the question is the Oscar ceremony a Pisces glamour fest? What do you think, Sally? Is it a Pisces glamour fest, or is it just... I don't know. Well, it kind of is. The answer to that is yes and no.
Well, yes and no. It is yes and no. I mean, we've got the ceremony coming up this year on the 10th of March. So obviously it's happening during Pisces season. And, you know, apart from the COVID years when everything went wonky, before that, there was a period when it was the Pisces season. It fell in Pisces season. And of course, that's lovely, isn't it? Because Pisces is ruled by Neptune, and Neptune is film, it's glamour, it's fantasy. And, you know, the movies are the place where it's one of the ways we can kind of lose ourselves and go into that fantasy world. And the actors and actresses all love themselves. And there is this kind of glamour fest. You know, there's a glamour fest about it all. So you can see why it fits neatly into Pisces season when it does.
Yes. I mean, it doesn't always. I quite like the fact that it was always in Pisces season from about 1934 to 1953, which is the golden age of Hollywood, of course. That was Pisces. You know, that was when you would have Joan Crawford and Betty Davis and all those, you know, the great Marlene Dietrich, the great queens of Hollywood, of the silver screen. And of course, there's something, you know, even the word silver screens feels very Piscean to me and very Neptunian. But then actually, it's been in Aries a lot of the time, the Oscar season, hasn't it? And then in the last few years, it's been all over the place. We've had a Taurus one and an Aquarian one. However, the return to Pisces in 2003, was it, to the Pisces, to it being mostly in Pisces, aside from this recent kind of COVID led dotting all over the place, has also been a very empowering time for the film industry, for Hollywood, and the Hollywoods around the world. What's the one in Korea called? What's the word for the Korean film industry? I never know. Because there's Bollywood in Bombay, of course, and there's Nollywood, the Nigerian film industry, and there's a big film industry in the Middle East too, in Cairo. But it's been quite a boom time, actually, for the visuals since 2003, and especially because at that time Neptune was in Aquarius, one of the signs of, you know, mass communication, and then Neptune went into Pisces. It's been in its home sign since 2010, having a, you know, actually a great time. I think it's been wallowing in those Piscean seas.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, where we are now, 2024, I mean, Neptune's coming to the end of its time in Pisces, but then we'll move into Aries. And these are, you know, if you're looking, I mean, the Oscars season, I mean, the Oscars started back in 1929, so it's a real institution in a way. And it's been predominantly either in Pisces season or Aries season. So, you know, we're kind of, there's something about with having Neptune in Pisces moving into Aries, we're in the thrust of this. It is kind of really foreground at the moment, which is quite interesting. And, you know, it makes sense in a way when the sun is in Aries, because there's that competitive edge, you know, there's a competitive edge about the Oscars. It's always, you know, it's a huge, everyone wants to win an Oscar. If you're in the acting industry, it's kind of the creme de la creme. It's the one to win. And of course, there's a logical reason why it falls at this time of year, because, you know, because of the film season, it has to be a certain time after the BAFTAs, so all the actors and actresses can turn up to all the big events, the glamorous events throughout the year, particularly when they're in one of the, you know, movies that's going to be a key player in award season.
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned award season, which didn't used to exist, of course. It was just the Oscars and Cannes and the, you know, Berlin Film Fest. So there weren't so many, but it's become a massive season. So, and that's interesting too, that's with Neptune in Pisces. It's just become this huge season that was prolonged, you know, from, so there was the, and then there are the Emmys and all those things. So it's, it seems like there's an award every 5 minutes these days, doesn't it?
Yeah.
yet another award ceremony with amazing clothes. And there's, you know, so-and-so wearing the such and such dress. And of course, that's the red carpet is a really important part of this. I've put up the chart here for the first Oscar ceremony. We don't have the correct time. We do know that it was dinner. On the 16th of May, 1929.
Yes, so presumably in the evening, a dinner party. And we, this is, we put the chart up for 7 p.m., but we don't know the actual time. But, all, you know, straight away, it's kind of an interesting chart, isn't it? And actually, the sun was in Taurus at this first Oscars ceremony, award, dinner party, whatever you want to call it, next to Jupiter. And also, I mean, I do predictions, I have done for the last few years, I've done Oscar predictions for the best film, best director, the best actor and actress, best supporting actor and actress, to see whether, you know, astrology can help you pick the winner. And the answer to that is yes, because the predictions have been really great for the last few years. And hopefully by the time you're listening to this, the next lot will be up. We're recording this earlier than March the 8th. But yeah, Jupiter's always the planet to look for. It's always the one to note. So it's interesting for me that, you know, the Oscars was born on a Sun-Jupiter conjunction in Taurus, the sign of longevity. So, you know, this is still going on almost 100 years later. I imagine there'll be a huge 100-year celebration coming up in 2029. So the Sun-Jupiter conjunction is there, square to Neptune in Leo. So, you know, it's right in a way that I think Neptune is playing a key part in this chart. You wouldn't expect it not to be, because it is it's our movie and glamour planet. And in this chart, it's in Leo, which is another sign that, you know, I often associate with kind of Hollywood, with glamour, with bling. It's the colour of gold, you know, the colour of the Oscar statuette. So, you know, when the Oscars ceremony first started, there you have Neptune in Leo, proud, very proud Neptune in Leo. So quite an interesting chart.
It's an interesting chart. I don't believe that it should have Scorpio rising. I've got to say, I'm sure it has Sagittarius rising, which would still put Neptune up at the midheaven. Neptune in Leo, I mean, there's nothing more Oscar-y than that. And that is actually the little Oscar statuette, probably. You know, the gold thing that you want that's in the at the top of the chart at the midheaven in Leo, which is, as you say, the sign of kings and queens. And of course, these are the kings and queens of the silver screen, strutting their stuff on the red carpet, as you know, every year. We have, it's like a royal procession. You know, in olden times, the king or queen used to do a procession around the country. This is the procession of the stars. And also, I love the fact that these people are called stars. I don't even know when that word started to be used in that particular way. But they're people who are like, who we have these fantasies about, right? These sort of constellations, you know, that they also are the creators of myths, of our modern myths. They are it's the dream factory, in fact. And I love the fact that there's the planet of dreams is Neptune, right? This is the Morpheus is Neptune. It's the planet of sleep and art, the sleep, the dreams, the imagination. And it's actually making a square to this very venal, it's frankly greedy combination of Sun, Jupiter in Taurus. And of course, that also makes a conjunction to the North Node in this chart. And it's interesting that this year we again have Jupiter in Taurus. So we'll see how that works out. What's going to win? I think I knew what won the first Oscar, but I've now forgotten. We'll see what wins and how Taurian that might be. But it's about money, okay? That's what this chart says to me. It's glamour, yes. What's the glamour doing? It's about big, big bucks. And there's damage as well. right? There's a kind of damage. And I find, because in this chart, there's Chiron is in Taurus. It's both Jupiter and the Sun have transited past that Chiron in Taurus. But Chiron is about where are we wounded, you know? And sometimes Chiron in Taurus is like feeling poor, feeling impoverished. And it's really interesting to me that this is 1929, the beginning of the Depression, essentially. So in October that year, you're going to have the Wall Street crash, by which time I think that the North Node in Chiron will be either conjunct or very close to making conjunction, right? So you've got the Wall Street crash. And of course, the dream factory, the silver screen, is what kept one of the things that kept people going in the Depression was this fantasy world that was created in Hollywood. Those beautiful homes, the sort of Art Deco interiors, the incredible clothes, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers. And now and today, are we also in that same kind of, you know, what is it that Chiron, it will be going into Taurus in a few years' time, actually, which again, I'm not suggesting that it's necessarily always a depression, but it can be a feeling of being poor. And one of the things that Hollywood does is it makes everybody else feel poor because we're not living the White Lotus life or Knives Out, or, you know, we're shown this incredible glitz and glamour, and not in all Hollywood movies, but in a lot of them, the Dream Factory is creating this dream, this fantasy world that makes everybody else feel impoverished. And I think you can slightly see that in this chart, especially since Chiron makes a conjunction with the Planet of Abundance series also.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up, because also it just makes me think about this, looking in, there's this, you know, it feels like, you know, when you win an Oscar, I mean, it's Lord, it's status, it's money, it's reputation, it's fantastic. It does really well. But this is Neptune too, isn't it? And, you know, in the charts of actors and actresses, you'll often find Neptune strong. And if you've got Neptune strong in your chart, there can be this yearning for this glamorous lifestyle. There can be this yearning for the fantasy world. You want to be portrayed in a way that's beautiful. But also Neptune is such a, you know, it's such a fragile, there's a fragility around Neptune. And that, it doesn't always play out that the, you know, the fairy tale can, it's not what you think it is. It can fade away. And we know so many people in this industry, actors and actresses, who fall prey to drink and drugs.
I was just going to say, also ruled by Neptune.
Yeah.
Drink and drugs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's, you know, and also there's the whole thing, I suppose, with women, because, you know, once they start to lose their looks, their beauty, there's always this, there's been someone new to come in. There's all these, it's kind of a fragile world too. It's glamorous, but there's a fragility. And I don't think it's an easy industry to go into by any means. So I find it fascinating what you're saying about that Chiron as well, that was kind of in Taurus and sort of also pivotal at the beginning. There's a lot to be gained. There's a lot to kind of strive for. But it's not easy. And there's, you know, there's a lot of insecurities in that world too.
And also it's interesting, just back to the Jupiter Sun conjunction, which is really close, you know, it's only 2 degrees. This is also excess, you know, excessive consumption. Literally, it's excessive consumption. And I'm just thinking about, I want to say, you know, Citizen Kane, you know, a movie made much later, but it was, you know, but it was a movie exposing the excess of, you know, of California, the excessive consumption. There are lots of other movies that do that as well. I'm thinking also of, you know, it's interesting that actually when the Oscars move to like Aries stuff, you start getting these, you know, it coincides with film noir, the arrival of film noir in Hollywood. and movies like Sweet Smell of Success. It's one of my favorite films with Burt Lancaster and Tony Curtis, which looks at the very dark underbelly of the glamorous industries. That one's set in New York, of course, but still. So we're coming up to this year's Oscars, which I think I can get the chart up for that, which also will have that same Jupiter.
Yeah, Jupiter in Taurus, 13 degrees Taurus. And then also I think what's interesting about what's happening with Jupiter this time, it is moving towards the conjunction with Uranus in Taurus, which is the big astrological aspect really of 2024 that's exact on April 21st. And in the Oscars chart in 2024, that Jupiter-Uranus is up at the peak of the chart, Taurus on the midheaven, so very powerful. So, you know, if you're looking at what movies are going to win, are they going to be symbolic of that Jupiter-Uranus? I remember just to, you know, often it is the midheaven, planets on the midheaven that give you a real insight into who might win or do well. There was the year that Nomadland won. It was Mars in Cancer on a Cancer midheaven. So Mars is, you know, movement. Cancer is the home. And Nomadland's all about these traveling homes. And also the star of that show was, that film was Frances McDormand, also a Sun Cancer. So it's often what's happening at the peak of the Oscars chart gives you a real insight into the symbolism to look for when you're trying to predict the winners. So we're going to have a Jupiter-Uranus theme. Liberation? I mean, what's that going to be about in Taurus? Maybe, you know, films about money. We'll see. We'll see. What do you think? Any ideas?
I don't know. We haven't got the shortlist yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
You know, as usual, the choices are good. You know, there's so many good movies being made. It could be Liberation. It could be a surprise. I mean, I just look at that and think, oh, well, maybe the thing that people think is going to win isn't going to win. You know, it's like an outsider. It could be an outsider, foreign movie, something like that, possibly. But I'd have to, you know, I wouldn't want to say without the shortlist in front of me. But if I were picking, I would definitely look at that, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. I also think it's quite interesting that it's on a new moon, or just, you know, just after a new moon, and there's the Sun-Saturn-ish conjunction. It's a little bit wide, but it's still there.
Yeah, and what a Piscean chart this time, because it's a new moon in Pisces taking place. So we've got a Moon-Neptune conjunction in Pisces as well in this chart. The ruler of the chart is the sun. It's a Leo ascendant. So that Pisces glamour, you would expect to be fully on show. You would expect everyone to be spending a lot of money on their looks, and it's going to be incredibly creative. I mean, you could probably talk about the fashion aspect as well through this chart. Maybe there's going to be, I don't know, lots of sort of sea images or greens or blues and silver screens, silvery colors, but very romantic possibly. With that real strong Pisces feel. Back in the age of Pisces glamour.
Do you know what I would suggest? I think there's a real tension here between conspicuous consumption, which I think is going to be something people don't want to do, actually. So I think we'll have a lot more kind of recycled stuff or vintage or, stuff that's not going to be killing the planet in terms of the fashion that people are wearing. It looks to me much more austere and very, very glamorous and beautiful. But at the same time as being incredibly glamorous and beautiful, maybe not so expensive, you know, maybe less kind of vulgar. Because one of the things that's really interesting about the Neptune placement, Neptune in Leo is obviously quite vulgar, you know, it's very, very flashy, which is that first chart that we had, Neptune Leo, that's what the Oscars birth chart is. But Neptune in the eighth house in Pisces on a new moon is incredibly alluring because it's making conjunction to the moon in this. It's incredibly alluring, it's beautiful. As you say, it's silvery, it's gorgeous. But it's not kind of, it's not vulgar in the same way, I don't think. So, but Jupiter, but the Jupiter in Taurus, there we have the conspicuous consumption.
Yeah.
So there's that's where there's going to be tension. It's going to be, this is conspicuous consumption. It's really kind of, but how can we, you know, but how can we kind of balance that somehow with the fact that we're having a climate crisis, frankly, and wars all over the place?
Yeah, so some fashion statements backing that up in a way, what you're saying, I would imagine. Would be interesting to see. I mean, it's not, you know, the chart isn't only just often about the actual movies that win or the actors and actresses that win. It can give you, you know, it can give you a flavour of what's happening as well. I remember also because the last one when the sun was in Aries, which was a couple of years ago, it's been dotting back and forth. You know, it was famous for Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, the host. That was the controversy. Very Aries kind of, you know, so it can show other things as well. I mean, the symbolism, it can show other things too.
Yeah, it's also got Leo rising this chart. We're pretty certain about the time because it says it's going to begin at 4. So it's got Leo rising, which rules the sun in Pisces in the 8th. So also hidden money. Who's really making money? Who's really backing it? You know, it's all, again, it's about the money. Like that first chart, that's what this is for. It's so that movies will make money. It's a big, big sales platform for the fashion houses and for the film industry. So that, you know, that's what they're doing when they're doing the red carpet, is they're selling those names, they're selling those brands. And my thought about the fashion is not that it's going to be, so there will be statements, but there may be people who don't do brands this time, who are not kind of, I'm wearing Dior, but who are wearing, you know, my grandmother's overcoat or whatever. I'm hoping that, because I think that idea of being more creative. So it's going to be a field day for stylists, I would suggest. Yay, Oscars. Right, well, see you next month. Do listen to our Look at the Month Ahead, which comes out on the 18th on all good platforms. See you then.
Bye.